Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 357 of the podcast with my marvelous guest, Jamie Loftus. She is one of the co-hosts of the marvelous Bechdel cast, which I strongly recommend. It's a wonderful podcast that has been around for quite some time now. And I am so pleased to have her up here doing that show and others at SF Sketchfest. So we got a quick second to sit down and hang out together, and it was a highlight of my day. So I hope you enjoy it. If you are listening to this podcast episode pre-Sunday, January 26th, you still have time to come see me and my cohorts in, I almost said cronies plus cohorts, so cornies? My cornies. That makes sense. In our Voyage to the Stars live episode that we will be doing at Swedish American Hall as part of SS Sketchfest closing night. We are doing it at 7:30, and we still have some tickets available. Kirsten Vangsness from Criminal Minds, Felicia Day from Everything on the Internet and more, the wonderful Steve Berg, who's in a gajillion things, Colton Dunn, who is brilliant on Superstore on NBC, me, and our special guest, Iffy from the group White Women, but he's also a huge gamer and has a presence online. It's going to be a very, very, very fun show. So if you are listening and you have the chance to come, please do so. If you have the chance to go, but you can't afford the ticket, I would say write me at janet@janetvarney.com. I feel like maybe I could do like some financial aid scholarship free tickets. That's right. I said it. I could probably do a handful of those. So there's that. I don't know that there's going to be any takers, but it felt fun to offer up. All right. Hope everyone's doing great. First of all, I want to say thank you for spending some time with the many raccoons on this blanket that I have brought from home.
Is this from home?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. I guess I don't know why I thought it was just here. What a wholesome.
As you know, the Buchanan has a series of grandma raccoons
adorable.
Reading books, babies hugging. Yeah.
They have like those motivational chairs. What do those chairs say downstairs? It like walk like there's
Oh,
this,
you're right.
It says like it doesn't say you are enough, but that's like the general energy
it's the general
of the chair.
And also, but like if I'm thinking of it correctly, it's not like it doesn't look organically part of the chair. It looks like someone was like, I got to staple this thing on there.
It looks like
there's
like
a weird
like,
afterthought to it.
What if people are sad when they come into the Buchanan?
We have to assume the travelers coming into San Francisco will be very depressed. That's a very good point.
I wonder what... Yeah, I want to know the story, but I'm like, you know, the people behind the desk have enough issues. I'm not going to question them about where the chair's coming from
and
why.
That's a good idea. I mean, I could put it on a list. I would get that question answered lickety-split.
Right?
They would be like, this feels important to her.
Why is the chair encouraging me?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, what do you think about those sort of like, what do we call them? Like not adages, but those sort of, I forget what they are.
It's
but
like a whole like mini industry.
Of like here's this, put up here, here's this there.
I guess it's fine. It's good. If it helps people.
Yeah.
If it helps people to have something next to your mirror saying you are beautiful and you're like, oh, every morning. Great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess my mom was really into stuff like that, but she was very like bless this mess. That was like her preferred signage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was when you were growing up?
Oh, just when I was growing up.
Okay.
Yeah.
You never know.
She brought the bless this mess signs to where she moved. Yeah.
Bless this mess. I'm fine with anything that rhymes. Mm-hmm. Might as well.
Oh yes.
I feel like I was more, this thing is happening to me as I get older where I'm starting to become more like a part of the general public in a way that I was so resistant to for most of my life to where like it didn't matter how clever like a dish towel was. Mm-hmm. I would be like, I'm not going to ever have something on a dish towel.
I'm too good for this. I know. Yeah. I feel like it's just like I don't know.
But sometimes now, my point being like, sometimes now, every once in a while, I'll be like, I mean, that is pretty funny.
That's
like, I'm not,
right.
I haven't reached to the point where I'm getting it for myself.
No.
But I'm already a step further than I thought I ever would be, which is like, I do kind of appreciate that one.
I'm like, I spent so much time being like, I'm not like the other girls. And sometimes I'm exactly like the other girls.
Totally.
And I feel like the purchasing is a line. I don't know that I would invest in something that says it's wine o'clock, for example.
Those are the hardest for me. That's because tough. I can't relate to those.
That's tough.
But yeah, that one.
that's a line. I'm like, I can't buy it, but I can appreciate it. I don't need to be open. I've openly disdainful of like
same.
My mother and this bless this mess garbage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? She wants the mess blessed.
And the only way to get that done is by embroidery.
Oh, yeah.
You have to
go to Home Goods to get your mess blessed.
That's right. Was for me, that's kind of been a theme for you as like when you were younger and as a teenager, did you have that sort of like, because I sort of assumed we all did. And then through doing this podcast for 7 years or whatever it's been, there are so many people who are like, oh, no. Like, I was a great kid. Like, I loved whatever was on the radio, and I was a cheerleader. Like, I get all, you know, that's all great.
But that's great for them.
I didn't have that. I had the streak that was like, I have to make sure I don't do those things for whatever
it was. I was like pretty similar. Like, I did like popular things. I just didn't talk about it. And I didn't like care. Like, I didn't own anything that would indicate like I had read the Twilight books, but I didn't have anything that would indicate. There was no evidence that I'd read the Twilight books.
If something happens to me, my room needs to be clean of all things that I don't want to go down as having loved the Twilight books.
Right.
That's how I'll be defined. And I got to scatter my room with like cool stuff.
Exactly. Like I need to be at like Hot Top. Like I really, and it was like, I tried to fit in with the not like the other people. But I didn't, I don't know. It was like, I did fine. Like I had friends, but I really wanted to like fit in with the Hot Topic kids. And I tried, but I'm like, I didn't really know what they were talking about because I wasn't actually really interested in it. I just liked the aesthetic.
Right.
I was like, I wanted so badly for the longest time. All I wanted when I was 14 was a Jack Skellington hoodie because all the cool girls had Jack Skellington hoodies. And I never even see that movie, but I just like wanted it.
Have you seen it now?
I've seen it now.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like we did it on.
I wanted to love it.
Me too.
And I've only seen it once.
I was like kind of shocked and appalled at how little Sally gets to do.
We did that
movie on my podcast, The Bechdel Cast.
Yeah.
And so that it doesn't fare well in that department.
Yeah.
The animation is beautiful, but like I for like a good 10 years I was just like, I get it. I love Jack Skellington. Yeah, 100% makes sense to me.
Right.
And like, and the Juggalos. Like, I wanted to fit in with the Juggalos.
Oh, you wanted to fit in with the Juggalos. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
From what I can gather, the Juggalos at my school kind of struck a little bit of a chiller tone.
Okay.
Than some. I don't know. High school Juggalos are kind of chaotic. You don't really know. But these Juggalos were mostly in my algebra class, and they were. They were good at math.
I love it.
They were very nice. And all they did at lunch was play hacky sack in a circle.
Okay.
And they had Juggalo stuff. And as far as
wait, what do you say Juggalo stuff? Just in case someone has not been around a Juggalo, especially an algebra Juggalo.
Yes.
And they've only heard the term.
Right.
What accoutrement would come along with that?
Well, again, it's kind of a Hot Topic game. You got to have like a triple XL, regardless of what size person you are. Insane Clown Posse hoodie. You have to have the trip pants, the like wide legged Hot Topic pants with the chain on the side.
Sure. Sometimes chain on the side, very key.
Some loose fishnets for some reason just hanging from the pants.
They actually look like fishnets in this case.
Yes.
Like it's they're not fishnets aren't pull tight, guys.
Juggalos
fishnets collect fish in them.
They could get amazing. Caught very easily on things.
And then
like after school the clown makeup, but during school you get in trouble for the clown makeup. So
got it.
Barefaced during the day.
Got it.
So
committing to clown makeup as a teen with like hormones going crazy feels to me like it would have been I had trouble even just with my goth makeup. That's a lot to slather on if like you're gonna get zits.
Were you like a true goth? I guess I don't know what that means.
Neither.
If you had the makeup, I feel like that's pretty deep into goth.
Yeah. I mean, I've covered on the podcast a lot, so I don't want to bore anyone, but in our new burgeoning friendship, I want to be able to tell you my truths.
Right.
But I definitely was I think for my school, it was like a jumble of like stoners, punks, emo, mm-hmm. like Hot Topic skaters. Like there was definitely like a lot of overflow. I definitely mm-hmm. like nothing was more fun than crushing on a skater who listened to like every Danzig skater, or like.
Yeah. Like every skater under 5'6" at my school, I was just fully in love with.
For me. a lot of short skaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
I mean,
where do they go?
Yeah.
They scattered to the winds.
Yeah, they scattered to the winds.
They really did.
Some of them you'll still see, like a grown man just fully skating along on the sidewalk.
I feel like it's almost kind of like video game culture where it didn't used to be for people of all ages, and then it just, the people who are doing it as teenagers continued doing
it. Whatever, I'm going to keep doing this. Yeah. Like,
oh, the skateboarders are just 75 years old now.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. Great. God, I can't imagine. I've never successfully ridden a skateboard.
No, I've wanted to.
Yeah.
I've really thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think my time has passed. I don't think it's going to happen at this point.
Well, you're tall like me, and I feel mm-hmm. like I really had an awareness from very early on because I was tall quickly. Were you too? Did you like,
yeah.
you were immediately the tallest kid in your class above the boys and girls?
Yeah, forever.
I really felt further away from the ground. Like mm-hmm. I felt that. Viscerally.
And it's also, especially when you're a kid, people are constantly reminding you how far away you are from the ground. And I feel like my parents were trying to be nice, were like, you're gonna love that you're so far away from the ground someday. Like they're just everyone was just always there's a picture of me in the fourth grade that I'm like taller than everyone, but I'm standing next to the guy I would eventually lose my virginity to, and he's just a full foot below me. He's so what a cherished moment.
What a cherished moment.
What a cherished moment.
Yeah, I feel like I learned how to slouch real early.
I still feel like I haven't fully resolved that. Yeah. I catch myself doing it sometimes still, or I'll like see a picture of me on stage and be like, are we still doing that? Can we stop? Like, no.
It really gets ingrained early. All of those weird like habits, and you sort of understand culturally like, oh, that's still a thing.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, it's still a thing across the board where, especially for heterosexual women, heterosexual men, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like what if I'm posing in a photograph with like a guy friend of mine who's shorter than me, like, I'm at the point now where I don't really care.
Right.
But I feel like I want we're going to be the same height. I'm going to lean hard on this mm-hmm. wall.
And I also want, I'm like, I'm like at this point, I'm like, it's just, it is what it is. I'm tall. But yeah, like when there's a hetero guy generally who's shorter than me, I'm just like, is he okay? Like you, because you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna take care of his feelings now.
Generally, they're fine. They're great.
Yeah.
But I just catch myself being like, oh, should I be accommodating this problem that I don't
that
even
may
know
not
exists?
Exist. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to high school?
I went to high school and I grew up in Brockton, Massachusetts.
Okay. Where's Brockton?
Brockton's like along the southern coast of Massachusetts near Rhode Island. Okay. It's the region of Massachusetts that is, I think it's like generally, it's not, I mean, it's definitely not Ben Affleck Boston, like, which doesn't exist actually. and so it's like lower middle class to like poverty region. It's more diverse than almost anywhere in Massachusetts.
Which is saying something, right?
Yeah. Everyone thinks of it as, which a large portion of it is like, all white, you know, anger. But there is an area that's very diverse and lovely. And so, yeah, that's where I grew up.
And so was it, is Brockton a small city? Is it sort of a town that other, did you go kind of feed into a one big high school? Or?
Yeah, it's a city technically. I think it was like, I don't know what the person line is, but there was like over 100,000 people in the city. There's one huge high school that 5,000 kids went to.
Whoa!
It was huge. It was like this huge public high school, and you would get like sorted into houses because there's so many kids. So it's like,
I'm listening,
right?
I was perking up. It was like oh, Slytherin.
So there's four houses, and and we were like, Harry Potter was out. We were thrilled that this happened. So everyone's trying to read into it. Was random assortment, but like,
were there names though for the houses?
They were just colors. So it was...
All right, you can work with that.
Yeah, and they were the Harry Potter colors. You had red building, yellow building, green building, and for some reason, azure building, not blue.
Whoa.
I liked it. I was in azure.
I knew you would be.
I'm a real azure.
Yeah. Which that already like, I guess they must know we're more sophisticated.
Right.
Our palettes are more sophisticated.
We're using a word that no one uses.
That's right.
But it was...
Wow, what is that about?
I know.
Was there speculation at the time that was like, I guess they don't want to use blue because...
It was just like that for... I mean, that school's existed. My parents went there too. And they also had read into the color building they had been put in. Amazing. Where my mom was like, you got to be in the red building. That's where all the popular people are. And I was like, no.
Totally arbitrary. But isn't that fascinating? Like the idea
read into
we want to give significantly... We're such a labeling species. Like, we want to give significance to everything. Ugh. There's a million different ways you can sort of find a way to define yourself. And then that idea that, like, once you're grouped together, you tend to sort of create this mythos about right. what that means.
I think that Azure, I mean, it was like the reputation of Azure was just like, it's kind of quiet, nothing really. But then there was also like people, I forget who it was. It was one of the teachers who was like really making an effort, you know, like I think she was still in grad school and was like writing a paper about the color psychology of the cafeterias because the cafeterias were painted bright whatever color you were in.
Okay.
And so she was
there were four cafeterias. There were four
libraries.
Whoa.
It was really big. And so
I can't believe that. I didn't think it would go as far as like you were basically going to separate schools.
But then you would have class like I would have like math in the red building and like English in the green building and like homeroom and math and library stuff in the Azure building. Like you would be running around all day across all these
overpasses. Like a college campus kind of.
Kind of, yeah, except they like just designed it so that you couldn't go outside, which was alarming, but fine. But there was some teacher who like wrote about the color psychology of like, how does it affect kids? Because in the Azure building, in the cafeteria, there would never be fights at lunch. It was very, but in the yellow building, there would be a ton of fights at lunch.
Wow.
And I think, and
through the years.
Through the years. Yeah. Wow. She studied it over a period of like, school years.
Yeah.
And the yellow cat, I mean, I was glad I wasn't because it was really bright and like,
Yeah, I know.
And
same
I
with
guess,
red. Like whenever I,
yeah.
I sort of understand, I feel like that's very common in San Francisco. Like if I'm walking to somewhere, I'm like, I'm going to go through Pacific Heights and see all the Richie Rich stuff. And then like you see it's the evening and they have their lights on. Like there's a preponderance of like blood red dining rooms.
Wow.
Which I guess is like a holdover from like the 1200s. I mean, I don't even know. Like,
oh, that's so
But it's
sinister.
So weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really like. What am I missing here? Like, are they? Is it soothing once you're in there eating? I don't think so.
If you grew up in a scary red room,
red cafeteria. No, thank you.
Red and yellow. There were higher fight rates, just specifically in the cafeteria.
Yeah,
it was so weird.
Would people get switched? Would it be like I got sent over to the blue building?
I don't think so. It was like what it did make it difficult to do was to like try to have lunch with your crush because if they were in a different building than you, you would just never get to see them at lunch,
which sucked.
Yeah.
God, that is, I've never heard
Isn't
of this.
Weird?
Have you ever come across anyone else who was like, oh yeah, I'm from Milwaukee. We also had a four-house, 5,000 person school.
No, it's just weird, like very low rent public school Hogwarts. I guess Hogwarts was a public school, was it? I guess no one was paying, right?
That's a good question. I guess you're right.
There
no one was
tuition.
Paying. You got in
it was
from,
a public
through
school.
Merit.
Right.
So.
Well, that wasn't Brockton High School's deal. You were just kind of there. But it was just kind of like low rent Massachusetts Hogwarts.
Yeah.
It was
Did
fun.
You have friends that you were in middle school with that you were like, oh, like Harry and Hermione?
Yeah.
Like, oh God, I hope we get in both in whatever the color is.
Yeah.
And then you didn't?
And then we didn't. Yeah. I didn't
and
have
then you had to
any
become mortal
friends
enemies.
In Azure. Like it was, my first day of high school was so scary because I had two older cousins and I was like, oh, maybe I'll be in the same, but they were in red and yellow. So I couldn't sit
Losers.
With them. Yeah. Absolute angry, always in fights. And then most of my junior high friends were in red or green and no one I knew was in Azure. And so I was like sitting alone on the first day of high school and it was so awful. And then someone, my mom's friend's daughter, recognized me because I also like wore a back brace in high school. So it was like really not a thrilling portrait.
Sure.
I was just reading.
Outside of clothes, inside of clothes? Like how obvious was it to everybody?
Inside of clothes and yet so obvious because I had like really skinny legs and then just like a very gigantic square torso. Like I was not fooling anybody.
People listen, thought... today's cocoon dresses.
It's true.
Would have been so chic for you.
If
so
Billie
scandy.
Eilish was around when I was in high school, I would have had so many more friends.
Yeah.
But this was during like Hollister, like XXS t-shirt. Like there was no current fashion that, and like lowrider jeans.
Juggalos.
The Juggalos.
That's why you were attracted to them because you could wear a giant t-shirt.
Part of the reason I didn't even end up making it into the Juggalos was because of my back brace, couldn't play hacky sack. And so that wasn't it. It was just in the way of a lot of things.
Everyone knows that's a deal breaker.
I know. But there was this really nice girl who knew my mom's friend who recognized me and invited me to sit at her table. And we're still friends.
Oh, good.
She's so great. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. What I do feel is an absence of any discussion about the greenhouse. So is there anything to give me?
Greenhouse.
Did they all love plants?
Greenhouse if red people in red were cool, people in green were kind of cool but nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were like the nice, like a lot of band kids were in green, which I was also, but they were like upper crust band kids.
But there was one band. Okay.
200 kids. Okay. Everything was just gigantic.
Yeah.
This is like a 200 person concert band. And like this, I think he's still there, but like we had a more stereotypically Massachusetts guy where he was like first generation American. His parents were Italian and he was really mean to us. Okay. And like he had a lot of Massachusetts like traditional energy.
Uh-huh.
And so, but yeah. So a lot of like the nicer dorks would be in green, but like the cool dorks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like they weren't wearing back braces. They were like in the band, but maybe also on a sports team.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What instrument did you play?
I played, this has never shocked anybody. I played the oboe.
Okay.
No one has ever been like, no way. You
shocked.
It's really, I'm waiting for someone to be like, what?
Yeah.
But it just really makes total sense.
Okay. And I'm not even talking about the mechanics of the playing of this instrument, but
right.
Was there an instrument you would rather have people thought
yes.
you played? And if so, what?
I want people to think of a flute girl, of course. I like, I've been
the
trying
to be. The flautists or the ballerinas of the band.
I know. And I did ballet too, but they were just like, there was no... Again, it was like in fourth grade, like we got the good thing about Brockton is that we were from like our public schools were always pretty well funded because we were like low income families. Mm-hmm. And so we had like pretty good music programs. And so in fourth grade, you'd kind of just be like your parents would have to give them like $75 or something. And then you could play in the band all year.
Mm-hmm.
But they would sort of just throw you something that they were like, this makes sense for you.
We found an old oboe sitting in the corner collecting dust. So I guess that's what you're getting.
My mom was also like, no one plays the oboe. You'll get a college scholarship. Like that was like very early. She's like, you got it. And I didn't.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get a scholarship. Just played the oboe for 9 years for no reason.
Is there any part of you that's like, I'd like to get that out and just
yodel
a little bit?
Yes, of course. I wish I could. I still have my high school oboe that I like. Yeah, like we managed to pay for it at some point
uh-huh.
in the course of 9 years. So I still have it. And I always want to get new reeds for it. It's kind of busted. I don't know. I'm like, that would be the next time. You know, it's like the next time I'm in like a bad place, I will probably pay someone to fix the oboe
yeah.
and try to pick it up again. But that'll
be my
just,
self-care gift to myself.
Right. I'm yeah. like there anytime that you're like, oh, I'm in a rut. Let me just choose a project and then channel all my energy into it. And it can't mean anything, you know, like.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Thank you. minutes ago, Commander Data sacrificed his life.
The Greatest Discovery is also about Star Trek Picard.
Jesse Thorne won't let us stay on the network unless we do all the Star Trek series, and so here we are. Doing a show about maybe our favorite Star Trek character of all time.
If you're excited to watch the new Star Trek Picard series and you'd like some veteran Star Trek podcasters to watch it along with, we're your guys. Sorry you're stuck with us.
The hell are you doing out here, Picard? Saving the galaxy?
So subscribe to The Greatest Discovery. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts.
Or at MaximumFun.org.
I got to ask this as a person who has only ever played guitar and never had the good fortune
of
being in, like, yeah, but like, I never had the experience of, I really love like singing in harmony. And I, and if I do, the next time I'm feeling bad, I'm going to be like, I need to make time to join like a public chorus or something because I love that feeling. I far prefer like singing in harmony than just being by my, I don't need to be the person that's like, and here's my solo.
Right.
I love being a part of like a music machine. It's very moving to me.
Yeah.
My biggest challenge is like, I think I'm going to start crying every time I'm part of like any kind of like a choir thing or something.
That's so
because
nice.
I really am like, there's something so magical about it to me. Mm-hmm. But so I never, other than playing like a kind of, you know, rock band or whatever, which is very different.
Right.
To me, like orchestra and band, the idea that everybody like practices and like everyone's part is important and all that is very appealing to me. But like when it breaks down, I'm like, do I know the difference between, I mean, I guess a bassoon is low, the clarinet, but what's the difference between a clarinet and oboe? Is oboe lower than a clarinet? What would those parts sound like?
So clarinet is like, okay, I still think of band as a social hierarchy, so please forgive
it.
What I'm saying.
No, it's fascinating,
but,
and wonderful.
Like flute girls are the coolest, right? And flute people of all genders are the coolest, right? Because they sit right up front. And they're
they sit in front.
And then behind, and then like to the side are the clarinets. And they're oboe players will say it's easier to play them because they're either no reed or single reed.
Mm, okay.
And then oboes are double reed, so you have to like push the air way harder, mm-hmm. and you get this duck-like sound that is the opposite of a flute girl.
Right.
So yeah, it's just like more air, and then a bassoon is like the big sibling of an oboe. It's just like a lower oboe. Clarinets and bass clarinets are kind of their own thing. Mm-hmm. And then there's
is the oboe
the band.
More like, you know, like for example, if a flute is like, I mean, you know that one song that people do where they're like the is like the oboe sort of the more like da 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 versus like
exactly.
It feels more like you're part of it, but it's more plodding than the people who are like, ooh, look at my fancy mouth work.
It's general. It's like somewhere in the middle of like oboes will get solos, but it's like not in the fun songs, you know. Like it's a little serious in the Peter and the Wolf like thing where you learn
it's the duck. It's so cute.
It's cute. It's just like, it truly is just like Weird Girl Central that plays the oboes. It was like me and three other were just like, well, here we are, you know.
It really is fascinating, isn't it? That you can even like, you can parse out even just like, okay, you have your houses of, you know, you have the color houses in the high school, then in the band, there's this other hierarchy that's like, feels like it has to do with your actual character as a human being.
It like feels like a reflection. I don't know. And then, the way we were seated, I don't know. I think it's like sort of orchestra style. I've just trusted Mr. Macrina to, he was so mean. I'm like, he has to have been good at his job.
And he's shouting at 200 people at a time, I guess.
200
Maybe he got meaner when he had to do that.
I guess he was like a well-regarded pulp mean guy. But he sat the oboes like right between the alto saxes and the flutes. So you're just like sandwiched between the two coolest sections. And everyone's just like, ugh.
So people still, in the band, a sax is still cool. Because, like, sax has sort of gone in and out of, you know, contemporary. It's been the butt of a lot of jokes at certain points in history in the last, like, 30 years.
They at least thought they were cool. Yeah. I don't know. They carried themselves as if they were cool. So I generally was willing to go with it. My first boyfriend ever played the sax. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I thought he was doing me such a favor by like dating an oboe player. So,
oh no!
I know, it's really sad.
Was he shorter than you?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
He was a teenager who looked exactly like Peter Griffin from Family Guy. which is something that he dressed up as Peter Griffin every year.
Say was for sure not that he looked like
it was okay. Like,
and yet he was doing you a favor. Great.
He was doing me a huge favor. I was so thrilled. He was a senior. I was a sophomore. He looked like Peter Griffin. Uh-huh. I was wearing a back brace. And we're just like, this is gonna be great.
How long did you guys
date? We dated until like 45 seconds after he got to college.
And then he was like,
I live in Hartford now. I don't have time for you.
Yeah.
Devastating.
Was that a concern of yours? Like, were you sort of looking at his graduation date as like a looming possibility of like, anxious? Like what?
Yeah, I sort of like, I don't know. I feel like everyone in my life prepared me to like be dumped by Peter Griffin. And I was just like, really not one. I was like, no, we have this so special. And he will like, but he was going to college for saxophone. He loved saxophone so much. And then when he broke up with me, for saxophone. He was just like, I can't drive back to Brockton on weekends. I need to be practicing my saxophone. And I like caught up with him years later. I like saw him in Brockton just like around the holidays or something. And it had been like 6 or 7 years. And I was just like, is that, because I for so long, I'm like, he said he broke up with me for saxophone, but it had to have been
right
for like a girl or just like, or not, like he wanted to be free or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, that really was the reason. I was like, oh my God, you have no reason to lie to me anymore.
Yeah,
And
that's kind of adorable.
It worked out for him. He is a saxophone professor now. So, he made the right call.
He easily fulfilled your mom's dream for you with the oboe.
I know.
Like, he was the one who took it all the way.
It came up a lot, yeah.
A saxophone professor. Tell me he has a business card that says Peter Griffin. I recognize that. That's not his real name. Peter Griffin, turn it over. Saxophone professor. That's all the information you need.
Yeah, he's a saxophone professor in Connecticut. Like, he's killing it.
And he stayed in Connecticut. That was it. He moved to Connecticut.
He's getting married to someone. In my head, it's a flautist. I have no idea.
Sure.
If truly, like, how it would be... just a little part of me would hurt if it's like, and he ended up with a flute girl. I'm like, well, that's great, isn't it?
But he was not the one in the picture who was shorter than you, who you eventually lost your virginity to.
No, I wanted to lose my virginity to the saxophone guy, but it just didn't happen.
He's like, I had to lose my virginity to my saxophone.
It's just like,
that's my commitment.
I'm saving myself for my alto sax. He was so into the saxophone. He was really good at it. I loved him so much. I'm like, wow.
He wouldn't like go over to his house and he'd be like, I wrote this for you.
He called me on my 16th birthday when we had like just started dating and like played me happy birthday on the baritone sax over the phone. And I was like losing my mind.
Oh my God, I love this. There's nothing better than like serenading stories from teens where you're like, I mean, looking back. I could see how it would be a little silly, but
he was the same age as my older cousin who thought he was a total loser, and he was like, Jamie, why? I was like, he's older, he's cool. And she's like, ugh, gross. Like, she was thoroughly grossed out by.
And was she one of the cool? She was in blue.
She was a flute girl.
Was she blue?
She was red. She was red, so she was cool, and she was a flute girl, so she was cool.
Okay, all right.
She was double cool, and she was just like, what are you doing? This is a, you know, this is a scourge on our family.
People are going to be meaner to me because you're going out with Peter Griffin.
I know. Yeah. But
do you mind talking about, I'm just saying you have to talk about the actual experience, but like, who was the person who came back into your life or continued to be in your life?
He's just always
your picture
there. We're still really good friends. I used to do a solo show about it that I wish I could do more, but I used to do a show a couple years ago called I Lost My Virginity on August 15th, 2010. It was like the name of the show. And it would just be like me reenacting what had happened 7 different times, and I would Skype in the guy I'd lost my virginity to, because we're like, we haven't been together for years, but we're still really good friends.
That's great.
And he's in the Navy, so he's usually just like hanging out. I don't know what they do. He's like on a naval base. Usually he's got like free time in the early evening. I was like, Steven, Skype in, it'll be fun. And he did it like 20 times with me. But
that's great.
Yeah. So I went to,
looking back now, it's silly that I was like, you don't have to talk about this personal experience that I now know you like based an entire one person show on.
Tori talking about this. But it was, I met him in fourth grade, and we went to fourth, fifth, and sixth grade together. And then we went to high school together. He was in the band, and then had a lot of classes together because we were the same age. And then I don't really know what we were never, it's weird because all those pictures of us together when we were kids, we weren't like good friends. We just knew each other. And I think it was still like,
that's funny.
Yeah. I don't know. I had a lot of I had a lot of friends who were boys growing up, but just Steven was very quiet and he was like on the wrestling team. Like there was no overlap, but then we had, I think, a history class together. And I just like, I don't like, you slowly when you're a teenager realize someone has a crush on you, and then you're just like, oh, and then you're like, wait a second, that person's really cute. Wait, I've known that person for 500 years. Oh, that's so weird. And he like tapped on my shoulder and gave me this like really gross old
maybe not what I was.
he gave me like a book of Beavis and Butthead comics it was kept in his family's bathroom generally. Like it was a bathroom book. But he's like, Jamie, I think this is funny. And I was like, okay. And then we dated for like 5 years.
But you dated for 5 years?
I dated for a really long time.
Oh my God. I did not see that coming. It is interesting when you know someone that long. Because I think so often, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like you would assume that so often, once you fall into a friend category when you're kids, you sort of just stay in that place. And it's different to kind of like rub your eyes and be like, wait a minute. Let me step outside of that.
I wonder if it was like because we were never like good friends and we just knew each other, it was easier to make that jump. I don't really know. Yeah, because I feel like when you're like friends as a kid, I had like a friend when I was really young that I'm like, oh, like it was just never, it just was never going to happen. It would have been too weird. Where I'm like, maybe if I met him when I was like older, like in high school, but it was just like, we ate like ants. You can't, that's a line. It's a boundary.
That's the line. It's, you figured it out. It's eating ants.
We already ate ants. We can't kiss. That's the rules.
Because somehow that activates the ants that are still living inside your stomach and they create some sort of an acid that burns your face off.
I'm just like, you've seen too much.
Yeah, you've seen too much. Do you have siblings?
I have a brother.
Okay. Yeah. And how is he, older or younger?
Younger. He's 4 years younger than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's enough of a span that, was he like your annoying little brother, or was he like, he's all right?
He was, we like fought, but it was like, he was just, I feel like if we were closer in age, we probably would have fought more, but we just never had enough in common to get truly mad.
Yeah.
Other than just like stuff at the house. Like we got in fights more once like he got into middle school and I was getting out of high school. And then when I came home for summers during college, we would get into huge fights because he had like, I felt bad because my parents were like divorcing, or sort of, they did that, like, this happens all the time in Brockton, where like they wanted a divorce but they couldn't afford a divorce, so they just lived in separate places and they still file their taxes together to this day.
Right.
But they were living separately, and that was happening just as I was finishing school, so I wasn't really super affected by it. But then my brother like was, you know, 12 or 13, and he was, and so he felt kind of, I think, like I had like bailed on him. And so when I came back, he was really going through puberty, and that was tough because he had sort of like taken over our house. Also, our house didn't have bedroom doors, which is a major issue.
Oh no.
When my brother was going through puberty,
we
would get into horrible fights when I would come home from college, because he was just like, I mean, I didn't know. I just didn't know what to do. I was just like, oh my God, you're like, there's just like cum everywhere. You're so mad. And like,
oh my God.
And he was just like, which of course he was like 14.
No bedroom door. doors.
I know doors.
Did you hang like a tapestry over your
Yeah,
like,
my beads. Aunt, we had beads. We did. We tried it all.
Which, by the way, that's loud.
They're really
so
loud.
No one wants to, like, if you can't sleep in the middle of the night, yeah, you can see through them to be like, clackety, clackety, clackety. I'm getting some water, clackety, clack. Like, that doesn't feel so, like it's a good solution.
I tried beads at one point. My aunt made me a curtain mm-hmm. once and then, like, put it, so I had a curtain for a while. I don't know. Like, we would try, but my brother's in my bedroom, it was originally one reasonably sized bedroom that the previous owners of the house had put up a wall in between to make it two small bedrooms but then that just like messed up the doorway so no one could have a door and so
gotcha.
It's just like
because I was gonna say like I understand that it was lower income but like at some point maybe someone invests in a door but if you literally cannot
it was just impossible
a door, yeah
my parents I don't know what was why they didn't have a door they should have like there but like just no one it was a no door house and so there would just be like I mean I'm sure there were just like days where my brother and I were just like furiously masturbating on different sides of the same wall like it was just gross But we have a great relationship now. He does stand up in Boston.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
In where?
In Boston.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're still across the country from each other. So when you work each other into your each other's routines, it's not like you have to listen to him talk about you furiously masturbating.
Exactly. And it's like a mutual agreement that we can both talk about each other. Mm-hmm. And he's great. He's like the coolest. He's like, we're friends now. We
That's
talk
great.
Every day.
That's great. God, I'm blown away by the no doors. But also,
I
like,
know.
But there's a, even though you, even when you're younger, I've talked about this a lot, but like, even when you're younger and you can totally identify that whatever your situation is different than your friends,
mm-hmm.
it's still normal to you. Like, it never has time to be, like the things I think about my family, like, and by the way, you blew my mind a minute ago when you said that your parents still filed taxes together because my parents were separated for years before they got divorced.
Really?
And it never occurred to me that they were still linked in like
they
very major
to.
Ways.
It's so weird.
Because they weren't officially divorced.
Right. They just still
have
to.
Oh my God.
It's bizarre. I mean, like, fortunately, my parents, it was a very like, it wasn't an ugly divorce.
Yeah.
And they're
mine
really
too.
Good friends.
Yeah.
So I felt, but I'm just like, they still meet up in March to do that every year.
I'm sure that was happening.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking, I mean, I just had no sense of, like, taxes was the biggest, most nebulous, like, boring, nothing thing.
Still kind
I never
of
thought
is.
Thought about it. Still
You're
is.
Like, what's going
For
on?
For sure still is. Yeah. But yeah, but so like this idea of, going over to your friend's house and being like, well, they get doors.
Yeah.
But also, like, you never knew anything different. So in some weird way, it's like, I guess I'm not the kind of person who has a door.
We're just not a door family.
No.
it was weird. I feel like I didn't really, I don't know. Like, Brockton, there was, like, income disparity where, like, I had some family members that, like, had, they were of the door class, right? And then... But then, like, also I had family and friends who, like, were not as fortunate as us. And, like, they lived in, like, an apartment in Brockton and we lived in a house and stuff like that. But I just, like, felt very kind of, like, I feel kind of lucky now. I just didn't really think about it.
Yeah.
And didn't really notice it. And it wasn't, other than, like, people who lived on the west side. And that's like, the ritz is as ritzy as Brockton gets and you're like okay good for you
how ritzy like in comparison with I don't know what but
I think just like solid middle class mm-hmm. and a little bit of upper middle class that are like legacy Brockton families and have mm-hmm. been there since as long as it's existed like there's
what
a
would
few
the
of those.
Money be coming from like is there you know what I mean like is it like
that's a
it's
good
not an
question.
Oil town family
there was I'm trying to think there was like one family that like they owned a company that sold like textbooks and so they had like a pretty nice house
the textbook fortune
yeah they had a textbook fort. So mm-hmm. like I think that was like the richest family I was aware of and then there was Brockton for a really long time was home to many shoe factories so there was still a few the FootJoy estate was out there somewhere and that was like pretty
was
nice it was called yeah foot they still they're the only Brockton shoe company still in existence but like
that was kind of nice. And so that would sort of be on the west side, like, mm-hmm. you know, just like nicer houses. But for the most part, it was like there was a lot of like my dad grew up in a development of like one floor houses that my grandma lived in forever. But it's just like three streets that all look the same mm-hmm. and like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I was in college that I like understood that that was, I don't know. I just felt lucky that I just didn't get like, oh, like I was aware that we didn't have a lot of money, but like it didn't really. But also everyone I knew was like that. So right. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's just, it sucks. And then, but it wasn't until I was like getting into colleges and realizing like, oh, I can't go there. And stuff like that was when I realized it. Yeah. But for, you know, 17 years of just like, yeah, we all have like part-time jobs and we all don't have doors and like it's fun.
What was your part-time what were your part-time jobs in high school?
I was a babysitter for a million years, but then I worked at the skating rink for 2 years
hot
in
stuff.
High school.
That seems like it would be cool.
It was cool. I liked
it. It's a cool job.
I liked it. My dad is a local hockey reporter, so he was really excited I was working at the rink because I was like not interested in hockey, but he's like, you're near it though. That's great. I was like,
you're
yeah.
my daughter after all.
You're right. He's like, you're in a cold building all the time. This is what a boon. So he was thrilled about that. And that was a fun job because I worked at the snack bar. Well, it was fun when I worked at the snack bar because then I would just steal food. But then sometimes you'd be in the skate rental shack and that was awful. Because
foot smell,
you had to take people's shoes and like hold them hostage so they didn't steal. That was disgusting.
Yeah,
but I worked there, and then I also did these summer jobs that were there was another public program that was meant to keep teens out of the streets, and it was like you would get paid $7 an hour just to kind of, they would just make stuff up. They would kind of be like, just stay out of the way and we'll give you seven. But so I was sorted onto this team called the environment team.
Mm-hmm. Again, more sorting.
More random sorting. We mostly worked out of the green cafeteria.
Okay.
We mostly just Googled things about mm-hmm. sustainability.
Great.
And but then it was like that. But then there was, it's so weird. It feels so long ago now. And I just realized when I was talking about this like last year, I'm like, oh, this was some really deep recession stuff. Because this would have been in like 2008,
mm-hmm.
2009.
Yeah.
We would sometimes, the environment team would be taken to the projects in Brockton, and we would have to like go into a house that had been foreclosed on and look at it and be like, how could this place be more sustainable? And it was like the most sinister thing in the entire world. We went to like apartments that people had clearly left very quickly. There was still stuff in there. It sucked. And like, I definitely didn't fully recognize what was going on. I'm like, what is going on in this house? Like, there's stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And we just had to be like, the insulation could be greener. And
so crazy.
There was one time where we were like in one of those and I like, it was just like the windows were all shut. It was really hot. And I passed out. And they had to call an ambulance.
No.
And then they did this thing where they contacted me afterwards and were basically like, hey, if you don't report the fact that we had to call an ambulance for you, you don't have to come to work anymore and we'll still pay you $7 an hour. And I was like, amazing.
Oh, wow.
And so I just agreed immediately.
Yeah.
And didn't have to. But like in retrospect, I'm like, that is the most sinister, like, there's no way we were supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But I went back the next summer and did the same job.
What were the other ones? And then I want to get into the MASH game with you. But what were the other things you could have been sorted into if not the environment group?
There was more fun ones. There was like ones where you would basically be like helping out at the like public daycare and like playing with kids and doing arts and crafts. And like that was one. There was one that was more of like an outdoorsy team where you would basically just be like mowing the lawn at the high school.
Okay.
There was one that there was like a state, like a really, whatever is under minor league baseball, like whatever's under that.
Mm-hmm.
We had one of those teams. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, you get to go help out at the stadium. So environment team was by far the most nebulous.
Like, we got to find something for him to do.
Goals unclear.
There's a lot of houses that just have a bunch of stuff in them. Let's go ahead and
we went on a field trip to the dump. Like, it was so, it was the worst team. It sucked.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya, a movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff Black Nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and legit film critic who wrote a book on Christmas movies.
I'm Drea Clark, a loud white lady from Minnesota.
Each week, we talk about a new movie in theaters and all the important issues going on in the film industry.
It's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Cruising.
And if it helps seal the deal, I can flex my muscles while we record each episode.
I'm sorry, this is a podcast? I'm a movie producer. How did you get in here?
Iffy, quick, start flexing.
Bicep, lats, chest. Who Shot Ya? Dropping every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh my God. Okay, I want to get into this MASH game. I'd like to start, apropos of this last topic of conversation.
Yes.
Give me... This is like we're going to most of this will be that we're altering your future or we're giving you sort of a split slidey doors future. We're in this alternate universe. These things mm-hmm. will come true. But sometimes we go backwards as well.
OK, cool.
So in this backwards facing MASH category, name three things. I don't care how realistic they are or not that you wish could have been your part time job during high school.
Oh, that's a really good. OK. Hollister. Model. They call their employees models. I wanted to be a Hollister girl so badly.
Right.
What else? I would have liked to work at the Rocks Stadium. Okay. I think that would have been a cool place to be over the summers. And I think that I would have wanted to be I really wanted to be a children's dance teacher and I was always trying to be like an assistant dance teacher but then they were just like no you're you know 14
I huff at that
I know
I really huff
I would have worked for free
yeah okay that's great next category let's do three imaginary places where you would like to have a vacation home.
Ooh, imaginary places. Do I have to make up names for them?
You don't, because it can also be like previously established imaginary places, like, you know.
Oh, like a Hogwarts-y kind of place. Mm-hmm. Where would I
want
to
go? Also, you could make something up if you want.
I'm trying to think of where I would want to go. I'd want to go to wherever A Series of Unfortunate Events takes place. Right. That's my favorite book series. I want to live somewhere in there. Where else would I want to go? I guess I'm only thinking of horrible, stupid things. I would want to live on the boat from Treasure Planet. Surreal, the deepest possible cut. I like that movie a lot. And I would want to live... And I just saw this 2 days ago. I'd want to live in the trench from 1917.
Okay. I appreciate your willingness to be off the cuff, knowing that you're like, I don't know about these answers, but here they are. I really appreciate that. That's kind of how you have to play this MASH game.
Right. So there always has to be a so-so option.
Yeah. Okay, great. Next category, one of my faves. In this alternate universe we're creating, all food is equal. So nothing's going to make you sick. Nothing's bad for the environment. Nothing. Ooh. So anything you could have, snap of your fingers in perpetuity, zero ramifications.
Oh, man. There's so many things I would have forever. I would have my favorite food as a kid and my favorite food still now sometimes is just a can of corn.
Can of corn?
Just can of corn. If it wouldn't wreck my body when you just eat a full can of corn, I would do it. No one should do it. It's horrifying what happens when you do it.
Is it just like preserved corn or is it like steamed corn? Like, does it matter?
Like doomsday prepper corn.
Gotcha. It just like sometimes it gets thrown into a fiesta salad
for fun. You can make it fun. Yeah. But you can also really not make it fun. And it exits your body the same way it enters. It's just so gross. I would do that. I would do like fully loaded nachos for a million years.
Hell yes.
And I would do Chili's baby back ribs if they weren't.
I'm so angry at how swiftly that jingle just came into my mind.
Oh, they really did it.
I the song is playing. It continues to play in my head as we're saying these words.
It's
I'm very, very upset.
And now it's happening to everybody.
It is happening to everybody. I'm not to blame.
That was like my report card food.
Oh, okay. So what does that mean?
Like if I got a good report card, I usually did.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
I mean, Azure building.
Yeah.
We would go to Chili's.
Great. Let's do our romantic times. It can be any character, actor, you know, anybody from any period of time, any age, or just like somebody who is a cartoon like Peter Griffin. Please don't pick Peter Griffin.
I've already gone through my Peter Griffin phase. I can't look back. My childhood crush and my still crush today, Alfred Molina.
I love that.
He's got to be there. He's someone fictional would be from I used to dream that this boy was hiding in my cabinet. His name was Darren. Mm-hmm. He is a vampire from the Cirque du Freak series.
Oh my, okay.
He was just a bad boy vampire. He was my Edward Cullen.
I gotcha. Did you feel, by the way, just very quickly about Alfred Molina, was there a pleasure in knowing like there weren't a bunch of your peers who were also like dreaming of him? Like
it was
kind
of nice.
Did it feel good to pick? Because I feel like I did that too. Like I picked people knowingly or not, there was certainly a celebration afterwards where I was like, I guess I got this one for myself.
You're like
it was real.
Odds are pretty good for me
odds
here.
Are
like you
really
do.
Good. Yeah.
You feel like you have, because I'm like, of course, you have to choose between Daniel Radcliffe and Rupert Grint. You have to have the crush that everyone has. But then you also have a crush that's just for you.
Yes.
I liked that a lot.
Great.
And then a crush that I had as a kid that I didn't realize was from a 40-year-old movie and that he was dead.
Yeah.
Carl Anderson in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, okay.
He played Judas.
Okay, great.
And he had the best clothes.
Amazing. These are perhaps the deepest cuts I've ever experienced. I'm very happy with them. Next category, gotta do three instruments.
Oh, of course.
That you could wake up tomorrow and just be a virtuoso on.
I still think the oboe. I should have practiced more.
I love the loyalty.
I could have done better. French horn.
Okay, great.
Would be one. And then I guess we gotta go with the flute. Yeah. I would have a completely different life right now if I had played the flute.
I would be visiting you at the White House.
I would be. I'd literally be the president right now. So upsetting. So upsetting.
Whew. Okay. Next category, let's do. This is definitely a kind of a weird stretch, but like I want to pay tribute to your wonderful podcast, which I have yet to do, even though we've continued to talk about it
for
4 years.
4 years. Yeah.
It'll happen, guys. It'll happen. let's do three movies that you like, but that you're like, if I could change this so that it passed the Bechdel test and there were stronger roles for women and like I could see more of the characters, like things that you're like, that it's like hard to give up. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if I could still like this Michael Jackson song, that's a bad example, but you know, that
you're
sort
like,
of thing.
I want to be able to purely enjoy this, but it's impossible. Last night is a good one. We did The Social Network.
Yes. Oh,
that's
great.
A movie that definitely doesn't pass the Bechdel test that I really love.
But also like it's hard when it's a biography because you're like, did his life pass the Bechdel test?
His life doesn't probably
pass the Bechdel
test. I know, but I'm still willing to hold Aaron Sorkin accountable because he annoys
I'm fine with
me.
That.
He's annoying.
understand that.
What else is a fun movie that doesn't pass the Bechdel test? I'm just thinking of ones we've sort of done recently. A movie that I really liked as a kid that has no good roles for women and really no good roles for anyone. It was Wild Wild West. That Will Smith
movie. Side note, Kevin Kline, big crush of mine.
Oh,
not unlike Alfred Molina for you.
Great, great childhood crush.
Yeah.
I liked him when he was in Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, okay. So even just his voice.
Yeah.
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 Wonderful. He was like a very early sex symbol because of a fish, seeing like my dad showed me A Fish Called Wanda. And then my dad also made me love the Pirates of Penzance movie that he's in from like the early 80s.
I've never seen that.
It is, it's a lot of fun. I'm sure it doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
Oh, for sure not.
But yeah, it's, he's like very, it's like, wow, he I continuously saw his hairy chest as a child. I was like, oh, okay with this.
Like, yes, this is good. We like this. Cool. Good.
Wild Wild West. Love it.
Oh, I still love it. Holds up. I'm trying to think of ones that I love because there's a lot that don't pass that I just didn't really have an attachment to.
Sure.
As a kid. Let's see. I guess most rom-coms don't pass the Bechdel test in spite of themselves.
Right.
So I will go with... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm taking so long. Oh, no.
No, don't worry about it.
I can't think of one. I guess, like, really any of the Disney princess movies, none of them pass the Bechdel test because they're always talking about boys. I'm going to go with what I think the... movie that is aged poorest that we've ever covered on, which is the first Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, that seems like a good choice because it definitely is like, oh.
There's so many alarming, like, it's suggested that he hooks up with her when she's 12 years old. There's a lot. It doesn't just not pass the Bechdel test,
but
yeah. There's also, you're like, oh, this is alarming.
Oh, interesting.
So that was God. Like, usually it's just fun and like, I'm like, oh, I like this movie, but it sucks. But that was like, oh no.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time. So like that, I'm like, oh really? I don't.
It's all in there. It's
because and I'm sure you talked about this. I would refer people not just to the podcast, but they could start with this episode probably if they wanted to. Yeah, about Indiana Jones.
Oh, for sure.
Because what I remember is thinking she was a strong female character.
Yeah,
right. That's the if you haven't seen it in a while, that's what you sort of go like, oh, she was a badass. Like she could drink him under the table, and like yes, she needed to be rescued, but she was tough as nails and. She could take the adventure.
Yeah. Like, part of that is true. I mean, and especially it's like, if that's the takeaway that you get, that's amazing.
Right.
Like that's, George Lucas is really good at that scam though. Mm. He's really good at being like, you need to become like, you get, I feel like he gives female characters quippy lines that you're like, oh, she's strong and cool. But then she never really gets to do that much.
Yeah. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, I would definitely say, I'm sure, doesn't pass the test.
Oh, there's no
poor
way.
Kate Capshaw.
Oh my god,
like
I know she I was really like, done dirty.
She's so annoying in that movie, and like she's doing her damnedest to have it be a fun screwball comedy.
I really wanted more for her.
Everything out of her mouth is just like, oh my god, oh no, what's my nails,
like oh no,
it's bad.
It's so disappointing. Like I don't know, so many men of that generation, like, have you ever, like, spoken to your own wife? Like, how do you think people behave? What are you talking about? I don't know. But that's a brutal one.
Always got to look backwards.
Yeah.
Good to look backwards to understand everything and going forward. Okay, next category. Mm-hmm. Let's do, I feel like I fulfilled the jump into a movie, even though that's not what we're talking about, because we sort of altered these three movies. But let's do... three styles that you can apply it to when you were a teenager and you wish you could have pulled it off like you were talking about or today. But like, let's assume no one ever judges anything and everything is the same level of comfort, which is everything is
works.
Comfortable. Okay. What would you love to just rock out with for a day, knowing like everyone would think, oh, she's so cool. Not like, why does she have a parasol?
Right. I love that you jumped your parasol. You just fully told on yourself.
I don't even know what I was picturing. So like that could go so many directions. Like geisha? Like there aren't that many that seem like maybe they're not like tied to something a little dicey, but
right. Parasol sounds great though. That sounds really nice. I guess that Jane Austen period dress would be among that. Teen goth, 100%. And then what else did I want? I wanted to be, I guess I would say this is maybe a flavor of goth, but I really wanted to be, I wanted to be a scene kid as well.
Okay.
Scene kids.
What does that mean? Yeah.
They were a variant of goth. They liked Lady Gaga, so they were also they liked more popular things, but it was like generally you would dye your hair
a crazy color, and you would get gauges.
Really big. I do not recommend that.
But your clothes were tighter than the goths, and you listened to top 40 music.
Interesting.
That was the closest
I
got to like.
I can't. Yeah,
it's
I
a good
can't
marriage.
In my, yeah.
My prom date was a goth, or was not, was a scene kid, and he was like meticulously matched dyeing his hair to the color of my dress, and he was just
that's fabulous
a champion. Yeah.
By the way, for those of you who have gauges, I'm not saying you're wrong to. I'm saying I personally cannot recommend it because that's a lot of maintenance.
It's so much.
And then you've made the commitment, and then you continue to like that's a lifelong commitment.
That same man who I'm still friends with to this day recently finally had like. Small, like, had his gauges tied up. Like, there's an official procedure for recovering scene kids where you can, like, have your lobes taken back in.
Tied up really makes it sound like they make a cute flesh bow out of them. And I want that.
Like, it's like getting your tubes tied.
A little knot.
But it's like, I saw his ear. I went home a couple months ago to do a show, and he came, and I was like, your earlobes, they're where they started. Yeah. And he's like, I know.
Wow.
I know.
What a journey.
I know.
What a journey. Okay, let's do final category. I'm not going down the gauge road. I was like, three alterations that could be temporary for a day. And I was like, we don't need to go down that road. Like, you would have big boobs for a day. Like, there's no like alteration that really doesn't start to seem like, well, why would you want to do that? Mm. Even for a day. Okay, final category. Mm-hmm. Let's do. See, now I'm the one. I always feel the pressure to be like, this, what am I missing? What category am I missing?
That we've got it all.
Jamie
really.
Secretly is going to be like, I cannot believe she didn't ask me the best this? Question of MASH of all time.
I'm a very judgy MASH player. So
good heavens, this is a lot of pressure.
Where?
What about alternate universe careers?
Okay. Like, ooh, yes. Okay. So big fancy journalist would be number one. Always wanted to be big fancy journalist girl.
Right.
What else would I have done? Oh, ballet teacher. Something I wanted to do and almost did, but then my ballet teacher from high school was like, "You'll make $2." I was like, "Oh, okay." Mm. And I think my mom's a second grade teacher, and that was something I thought about too.
Great. Okay. I'm going to do my doodle.
Okay.
So tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to pause this to the listener. It will seem as if no time has passed. I will come back with your 100% guaranteed fictional MASH future.
I love it.
Okay. Jamie, I've got some results from your MASH. I feel pretty good about the results.
Okay.
But there are some Band-Aids I need to rip off right away.
Okay.
I'm going to have to rip... Well, this isn't really a Band-Aid because it only makes sense, which is that if you are going to have a vacation home in one of these places, don't try to tell me that a mansion, apartment, or house works in the 1917 trench. It is a shack.
No, it's a shack in the trench.
How wouldn't it be?
I mean, how could
it not be? That's what you got. But it makes sense.
That's the best you can hope for in the trench.
It's the best you can hope
for. It's not the mud.
That's right.
There you go.
So you've got your shack in the trench.
All right.
And then the other Band-Aid, which I don't feel is a Band-Aid, so you probably won't feel that way either.
Okay.
Is you continue to not play the flute.
Oh, okay.
But I want to congratulate you on my personal choice, the French horn.
Oh, that's a beautiful instrument.
It's good looking.
It's regal.
It can be regal, but it can still have like a sort of mournfulness to it, which I love.
I like it.
So I'm very happy about the French horn.
I'm thrilled about
it. I feel
this.
You'll be soothing many a soldier's heart.
Oh, in the trench.
As I play the beautiful French horn. In the shack, in the trench.
Oh, nice.
That's a nice picture. Yeah. I want you to know also that you, in the trench and elsewhere,
okay,
whenever you so desire, endless cans of corn.
Oh, this is all fitting the exact trench lifestyle. This is good.
Yeah, hashtag trench life.
Okay. Okay, so I got my corn in the trench, my corn and my horn in the trench.
You absolutely. Now, in terms of style, I want to congratulate you on your ability to sport a Jane Austen dress. Oh, like nobody's business.
Cool.
I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I will say about Jane Austen era dresses that they seem way more comfortable than like some of the dresses right before those dresses. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like the bodices are a lot less tight
you
and like they're more flowing. And yeah, there's not a whole lot of lacing into stuff.
I could live in a trench, less hoops.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely, I mean, these, you know what? If you hitch up your underclothes into your knickers, that feels like it's right out of a Jane Austen novel anyway. So you've got that.
Okay.
But also, you enjoyed your time as a Hollister model when you were in high school.
Yes.
So you got a little taste of that.
Finally.
Nothing wrong with that. I want to congratulate you, and I think we all thank you for rectifying the misdeeds of Indiana Jones.
Oh, wow. Huge.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Huge.
That I appreciate that because it is a disappointment to learn those things. I want to reassure you, this makes sense too, because like at best in a shack, you might have a cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where Darren from Cirque du Freak lives.
My boyfriend Darren. It would be good to have.
He can live in a small space. It's been shown.
It's his whole thing. He loves small dark spaces. Of course, he's living with me in the trench.
Yeah,
I love that.
I'm sure he loves canned corn. and then finally, through all of this, and I think this makes sense because there is a sense, as you said, like there can be some ostentatiousness to it. There can be some like, you know, held in high regard of this. Mm-hmm. But also to become this big fancy journalist, you know that you've been in the trenches.
Yes.
Literally and figuratively.
Okay.
You know how to be humble, but you've also advanced your career in the exposition.
Kind of doing
of
a Gonzo thing.
Right.
Okay.
So that is the sort of like, it all sort of ties together in ways that I wouldn't have expected given the answers you gave.
A pretty unified world.
That's a pretty good world. Yeah.
I like this.
And that leaves us only with you letting the kind folks listening know where they can find you for various and sundry things.
Sure. You can find me just online and on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. You can listen to the Bechdel cast, which you will be on.
The
conversation continues.
The conversation will continue.
Is in preschool at this point. But the Bechdel cast comes out every Thursday. And then I just released a limited podcast series called My Year in Mensa.
Wonderful.
That is out now. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for popping over during Sketchfest.
Thank you.
I'm
this
so
is
glad
so
it worked
much
out.
Fun.
And everyone else, I will talk to you next time on the podcast. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.